Welcome back. Melanie Hurlbut here with Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Now, this is a surprise. This is the only psalm in Book 3 attributed to Israel's greatest king. After all, Psalm 72, the last psalm in Book 2, declared that, with Solomon enthroned as king, the prayers of David, son of Jesse, had reached their conclusion. But unfortunately, that was not Israel's experience. If only Solomon had been the promised Davidic son. Instead, Book 3 is full of pain and confusion as the Jews struggle to hold on to hope in the midst of their covenant failure, exile to Babylon, and, after their 70-year exile, their promised but underwhelming return to their land. That's why this prayer of David is so significant. This psalm rises up from the grave as if David himself is giving voice to Israel's hope, calling them to join their prayers to his until they see all God's promises to Israel and through Israel to the world fulfilled. Isn't that incredible? This is a prayer for each of us who believe, personally, corporately, nationally, as Paul said in Romans 4, in a God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. With that in mind, let's join our voice with them in prayer. Verse 1. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord. Bring joy, for I trust in you. Did you notice David's 6 bold asks from God? Hear me, answer me, guard my life, save your servant, have mercy on me, bring joy. David sees Yahweh as his source, his only source, and so asks loudly and boldly for all that he needs. In contrast, David knows himself to be poor and needy, faithful, not perfect, in need of salvation, mercy, and joy. Like David, I found myself in this kind of situation often, knowing God is the source of everything good, and knowing that apart from Him, I am not. While raising my family overseas, we experienced several seasons of intense struggle. I often felt like we, and especially my children, were besieged on every side. Like David, we needed not only salvation and mercy, but the Lord's joy to keep us going. Now, I'm not talking about the carefree Hakuna Matata, no worries kind of joy that the Lion King's Timon and Pumbaa sang to bury Simba's grief and loss. In the face of great tragedy, Hakuna Matata rings hollow. What I needed was the kind of joy that I could grab hold of and wrap myself up in to sustain me through difficulty while giving me hope that God's future would come to pass. Jesus has reminded me over and over again to ask Him boldly for this kind of joy and to open my heart to Him to receive it. It's the story of my life, learning to receive joy by faith, just as I did my salvation. Let's return to verse 5 and see what gave David this kind of confident boldness before the Lord in prayer. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you because you answer me. David's been meditating on Yahweh's name again. The name God revealed to Moses in Exodus 34 after the Israelites' catastrophic failure by worshiping the golden calf. And like Moses, David's vision of Yahweh's grace and goodness drives him to hope-filled prayer for himself and for all nations, confident that the Lord will answer him. Listen to verse 8. Among the gods there is none like you. No deeds compare with yours. All the nations will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. David proclaims the greatness of God. He said, among the gods there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. What deeds is David thinking of when he prays this? Although many come to mind, almost certainly the Exodus tops David's list. The Exodus was Yahweh's greatest deed ever done for Israel, when God delivered their tribes from slavery to make them a nation of his own, not because they deserved it, but because of his faithful covenant love to Abraham. That's why David proclaims so confidently that the same God, the one who also promised that in Abraham all nations of the earth will be blessed, will somehow compel all nations to worship and glory in his name. This great gathering of the nations to worship Yahweh will make it clear that their gods are nothing and that the Lord is God alone. Verse 11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Just as Moses had prayed, teach me your ways so that I may know you. And again, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us? So, David prays for the Lord to teach him his way, for an undivided and faith-filled heart, that he would fear the Lord. Verse 12, I will praise you, I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Now this is amazing. What will David do with that undivided, faith-filled heart he's asked for? He will praise the Lord, glorify his name, and revel in the greatness of God's love that delivers him from the realm of the dead. Incredible. While he lived, David obviously knew that someday he would die. And yet, this psalm says he trusted that somehow, someday, God would deliver him from the dead. If David believed God's steadfast love was strong enough to deliver him from the realm of the dead, maybe all Israel should take hold of this hope, that God himself would raise them from the dead. And so, Israel's resurrection hope begins to grow. After all, hadn't Ezekiel prophesied something similar? These returned exiles, think Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, struggling to live in their land after returning from Babylon, begin to pray. They pray, reminding God of his covenant faithfulness towards themselves and for the nations, that God himself would raise them from the dead. And so, Israel's resurrection hope begins to take root and grow. Verse 14, arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you, just as my mother did. Here it is again. You, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. David just won't let go of this Exodus 34 prayer. It is because of who the Lord is that he turns, forgives, and saves. No foe is great enough, not even sin or the grave. This is a good time to stop and sing loudly that magnificent chorus from Casting Crowns. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. And so, comforted by the strength of God's covenant love, David ends his prayer in verse 17. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Somehow, David has assurance that God has answered him and will answer Israel, so that, even if it takes raising him from the dead, God's plan for the nations will prevail throughout the whole earth. So what will this sign be that David is looking for? Read Psalm 86 today and come back tomorrow for Psalm 87 to find out.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.